Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Paul Nichols, the investor coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Rings in my mind as I'm sitting down today to chat with you. And that is because what a difference the market has made in a short period of time. I want to talk to you today about the market update here on November 3rd, 2015. I'm recording this the 4th, but it's as of the 3rd. Business close in the market. So I'm going to go over a market update today, as well as I'm going to talk about a few areas that really can cause people some real challenges in investing. And they're popular investing traps that have a well-rounded dose of logic tied to them. But when you start to really dig in, there's another story. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, some investing money traps. And if I have time after that to share a personal note. But let me get into the market update. As of November 3rd, the intent of the market update is to provide people with a source where they can understand how the market's doing as a whole in a global market, that is international U.S. And this would be very important for the person that believes in modern portfolio theory and an academic approach to investing. They don't subscribe to many investing myths such as stock picking, market timing, track record investing. Those things are what I deal with over and over and over again on a daily basis. It's the constant inference, implication, promotion of a certain product, solution, strategy based on the social, political, economic climate of the day. All the news we hear is nothing more than noise in the long run. That it's a zero-sum game investing. You know, in order for you to win, somebody else has to lose. And I think it's important that when we look at the last couple months, there have been people that have lost by panicking when the market goes down, like we had a rough quarter last year, or last quarter, and they sell out and they take unrealized losses when they're down and lock them in. But as of this market update, those folks that watch their portfolios drop after June into September, all they had to do was remain calm and realize this too shall pass and they'd be back where they are. Let me illustrate that. Market update as of November 3rd. Russell 2500, this measures small U.S. growth companies, small to mid-sized U.S. growth companies. Now it's up 1.2%. It was a point negative about 3 weeks, 2 weeks ago when I did the last market update. About 2 weeks ago, it was down a point, so now it's up 1.2. What a difference a day makes. Russell 2000, the performance of small to micro, these are small to micro company, that is barely in, it's actually still in the red, it's 0.03%, so it's just a hair under. Small has had a rough ride this year, but hey, you know, 2 weeks ago it was down 2.5%. Russell 1000 value, this is looking at large value companies, not large growth, but large value companies. You should expect a higher return when you invest in a value company over a growth company. And as of right now, it is in the negative still, 2.85. But boy, that's a big difference. I'm sorry, I'm Russell 1000 value, large cap is, no, yeah. It's the Russell 2000, which measures small cap value, not large. Large value is 0.3% to the negative. Small value is 0.285 or 285% to the negative. Those two were both respectively 3.5 and 4.5 a couple weeks ago in the negative. So they're climbing back. But as of 2015, what we've seen so far is just as a quick synopsis and overview is small has dragged, which is normally one of the leading asset classes, and emerging markets has really been the laggard, dramatic laggard this year, which has caused a lot of rebalancing, which is exactly what you want to do, but it's still down, and it's been down for a couple years. When that turns, it's going to be a heyday. But right now, back to the U.S. marketplace, when we look at small to very small U.S. growth, we're right around a point. When we look at large and small value, we're right around even to 2 points negative. And when we look at the U.S. large growth, companies depicted in the S&P 500, we're looking at 2.47. So U.S. large is the winner, winner, chicken dinner as of November 3rd, 2015, and the laggard would be small value. When we go into the international arena, we have the Morgan Stanley Capital World Index, which is 0.45% to the positive. A couple weeks ago, it was down almost 2. Emerging markets is about where it was. It was it's down currently about 9.9, and 2 weeks ago it was 9.3. So it's the only one that's continued to go down just a little bit. And then we go on to the Morgan Stanley Europe Australia Far East index. That would be about 0.7% negative versus a point and a half a couple weeks ago. So internationally, across the board, the only area that's really up would be the developed area. We get into the emerging markets, Europe, Australia, Far East. What we have is some negative right now for the year. This is year to date as of November 3rd, 2015. But we are making some dramatic headway. Now, June, up till June, we were doing great. I mean, the market was smoking right along. Looked like a very positive year. We had a rocky quarter last quarter and gave quite a bit back. But rebalancing is important. And if you have a systematic approach to academic investing, utilizing modern portfolio theory, understanding the three-factor model, understanding a dissimilar price movement and all the academic concepts, you realize that what you want to do is have a well-diversified portfolio, understand equities are a long-term investment, and you'll always be in those, and you want to rebalance on the volatility that we're seeing. It's not triggered based on emotion. It's triggered based on time or percentages. They're out of whack. So right now, as a registered investment advisor and a coach this year, it's not a stellar market year. There's nothing to jump up and down over. We're certainly not depressed because as the market goes down, you do rebalance. And we end up with more value even though the account balance is down. And let me illustrate that because that confuses a lot of people. I'll make a statement, and I think I've shared it with you before, that my account balance is down, but my account value is greater. Now, how can that be? That's conflictual. Well, yeah, let's say that you have 100 shares of something and they're $10 a share, okay? And let's say the market goes down, as it has in the last quarter, and bounced back up, but let's say it's down, and now your $10 a share is down to $9. Well, you still have 100 shares. They're just not worth $10, they're worth $9. But by religious, structured rebalancing, what you end up having by rebalancing when that's down, you're pulling a little cash out of the bucket and buying up some of those areas that are down to make the percentages correct in the portfolio. And what you end up with is now 108 shares. Now, granted, they're $90. But when that area of the market turns, now you have 108 shares instead of 100. There's only three rules to investing. Own equities, diversify, rebalance. Now, is that mean it's easy to do? No. It's easy to understand what you need to do, but the retail nature of the industry makes it so difficult to really, the average individual investor, even registered investment advisors, are often overwhelmed by the amount of information and the different ways to pursue it, and when the science is very clear. With that being said, I'm hearing a lot about areas where people should put their money. I'm getting questions and people asking about, well, you know, the market's really the only area that's good right now. We got money in the market. Where else can I put the money? What else can I do? Should I look at real estate? Should I look at oil wells? Should I look at commodities? Should I look at other things like that? And these are areas that confuse an awful lot of people. It confuses an awful lot of advisors. And let me talk about each one of those. My coach, Mark Matson, always helps me out and keeping my clarity sound when I think about some of these things, because they are subtle. And it's easy to get hooked into pursuing an investment strategy that you think is a sound strategy, but it's really nothing short of speculating when you really boil it all down and get down to the heart of the matter. Let's talk about commodities to start with. You know, people want to invest in commodities. The appeal is that commodities has an enduring nature to them with steady rising demand, that, you know, people are always going to need, you know, corn and certain things. And as a result, commodities are a good investment. But the challenge is that it's not even clear to, for example, mining giants or investment bankers that are good forecasters to be able to predict with any amount of certainty and confidence what's going to happen moving forward. So, you know, we would look at commodities as being a risky proposition that, you know, when a product becomes indistinguishable from others, then it's stock picking. In other words, a commodity to us is not a clear asset class. Asset class investing is what academia has proved out. Sector investing, going after hedging your bet with other types of investments over the long haul certainly don't pay off. Now, they sound good. Well, everybody's going to need, you know, oil. Everybody's going to buy bacon. Everybody's going to need certain things, so commodities are a good buy. But when we look at that, we don't see very many people that come out on the other end in the positive arena. And that leads me to another area, probably the biggest area for the vast majority of Americans where they make bad mistakes or where they think they have a good investment is real estate. They often think, well, I'm going to get a good deal on this. I'm going to buy it right and get rich. What they don't realize, it's a lot of hard work. You know, I look at several hundred clients that we have today. There's a couple of them that have done extremely well in real estate. I'll tell you, the people I've noticed who do well in real estate are people that are in real estate. In other words, that's what they do for a vocation. They run across these opportunities here and there. They understand the market very, very well. This is their profession. It's what they do. Most people that I see that attempt real estate, buying a second home, a third home, a fourth home, whatever, they may have some cash flow, that's granted. They may have some appreciation, which is nothing more than inflation in real estate. They may have some depreciation or tax advantages. The challenge is when you figure all that stuff back in and out, do not even factor in your time. It's not any greater than basically an inflation rate of return or what a well-diversified portfolio would be without all the due diligence and all the constant dealing with maintenance and all the stuff that goes in to getting real estate. Oftentimes what we see people doing is taking a chunk of their life savings, buying a home, figuring that it's going to appreciate, it's a good investment, they find out what they end up doing is putting a lot of money in it, whether it be in taxes or other things they didn't even figure in, repairs and so on, and they can't sell it. And it becomes a market timing issue. That is, the market may not be conducive to sell or whatever. Oftentimes people are forced in a corner and they sell for a price they don't want to sell for because they need to sell it. They get stuck with property. They don't have one exit strategy. They have one exit strategy rather than three exit strategies. You know, whenever you go to buy something, I've always coached it. I learned this many, many years ago from one of my mentors. You always want to have three ways to pay for that, not just one. So real estate is another area. It's a popular investing trap, like commodities. And the last one that I'm going to mention today here is oil and gas. You know, oil and gas investments tend to be highly risky. They're really not suitable for the traditional smaller investor. That would be the 98% of Americans. You know, when you start to look at oil and gas, even the better gas wells, and we've had a lot of that with Marcellus Shale up in Pennsylvania, where I live and where our businesses are, that you know, we realize that there's a lot of revenue to be made there, but we also realize there's a lot of sales commissions, there's a lot of fees and other things related to that. And, you know, we've seen for years, for decades, financial advisors, accountants, attorneys selling these drilling partnerships or oil and gas wells with the promise of a fat payout. And what's interesting is when we look at last year, investors lost $20 billion in publicly traded drilling partnerships, or really $8 for every 10 they invested. Now, that does not include $37 billion of bonds that were sold by partnerships in the past 5 years since 2010, many of them down by half in the last 12 months because of obvious prices. But not all of this is a result of the oil prices diminishing or going down, which most of us were happy. They were way exorbitant anyway. And even though, you know, they've gone down, a lot of people, a lot of the partnerships have still had to borrow heavy. So it's not just a matter, my point is, it's not just a matter of the oil prices going down. It's also just the cost and the speculative aspect of this that many partners partnerships had to go ahead and borrow against and run even bigger risk in order to try to make a profit. And this was before the oil prices dropped. So the summation of what I'm basically saying is, when you start looking at commodities, real estate, oil and gas, it would behoove you, it would be to your best interest to be well educated about those areas before you make any moves. And the reality is, very few people are educated about the market, in my opinion, based on my experience of thousands of conversations, tens of thousands of conversations, coaching conversations. And I'll tell you that most people don't really understand the market. To get into commodities, real estate, and oil and gas wells is just another level of complexity. So when we look at the long haul, what am I basically saying? Well, what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, is prudent investing is very simple. You diversify, you realize you need to own equities long-term, and rebalance, and realize that the only return that's there is the market return from year to year. And the market has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. We never know which is going to be up or which is going to be down. But we do know that we need to have a very structured platform with very cultish or religious triggers and filters and things that are going to take the human emotion out of it. You know, investing would be a piece of cake if it wasn't for the people. Do you realize that investing will never, ever, ever, ever be beat or figured out by supercomputers or technology or anything? And when you think about that, think about how crazy that is. That we've had technology and better our lives in every area. I mean, it's unbelievable where technology is. I mean, they got toilets now that have sensors on them when you walk up to them in your home. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, we've got technology on our toilets, but the stock market hasn't changed. And the reason the stock market will never be figured out and why it'll never be beat and why supercomputers will never take advantage of it, even though they try to with super fast nano trading today, is because it's made up of a lot of irrational people globally, about 6 billion plus irrational people that logic and money demons often trump the reality. I should say money demons and emotion often trump the logic that tells us we should do this or not do this. So with that being said, listen, if you'd like to learn more about an academic approach to structured investing and diversifying and rebalancing and the actual science and what the market's done and so on and so forth, we are a source for that. I mean, we certainly coach up through the iPods. I've been doing this for years now, the podcast, radio show, and TV. But we have a website, FAICoach.com. We have regular blogs as well as this podcast. There's other material on there. In fact, there's years of blogs on there. So if you want to learn more, there's information out there. But what I will tell you, though, in my experience, we don't have a lack of information in this country, but we do have a lack of clarity, a lack of direction, a lack of discernment. What we have a lot of people regurgitating sound bites they've heard somewhere else. There's very little original thought, in my opinion. And you're welcome to it, by the way, my opinion, anymore when I look around this country. That's not because we're all dumb people, it's just because we're busy. We're distracted. We got a lot of stuff going on. Technology has not simplified our lives. It's made it more complex because we spend more time being distracted with things that may or may not have any relevance over what we're trying to get done that day. But again, that's my opinion. With that being said, let me get off here. This is Paul Nichols, the Investor Coach, pulling back the curtain on the financial services industry and exposing the truth about money and investing. Can you be a successful investor? Yes. You don't need to know everything, just a few right things, but you do need someone to coach you and help you up. Ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible. I'm right. Impossible. You didn't hear me stutter. For the average investor, unless they're very, very knowledgeable, and even if they are knowledgeable, very, very difficult to near impossible for the average American investor to really get market returns in the retail environment that we have access to. You need to learn more about what's going on. If you'd like to learn more, give us a shout, FAICoach.com. This is Paul Nichols. I hope this finds you well. Thanks for listening. Hope you got a nugget or two. Have a wonderful day.